and before the Islamic State in Iraq and so on. They've been operating for such a long time. They've been operating in coordination with the terrorist groups in Syria and Libya and Yemen and so on. All this with the blessing of the United States government. So it's a bit strange, actually, for the United States now coming to Iraq, reoccupying Iraq, and saying we have to save some Christian people in the north of Iraq, and Kurdistan is in danger. Well, they denied Iraq to supply arms. They took the money of Iraq paid for new weaponries to be supplied by the American, but did not supply the weaponries to the Iraqi government. Now they are supplying some weapons to the Kurdish region. They encourage the Kurdish region actually to go against the will of the constitutions and the Iraqi central government in selling oil and smuggling oil to Turkey and then to the international market as well. All these, with the conniving and with the support of the United States, they created a political system in Iraq which actually detrimental to unity and sovereignty. Parliament at loggerhead with the government at loggerhead with other institutions and so on. These are the creation of the United States. This is what the United States went to Iraq to do, to fragment Iraq, to make it a weak country, and this is what they are precisely doing likewise. In Syria, they are attempting the same things in Lebanon. They've done so in Lebanon and in Libya, and they're trying to do as well in Egypt and Yemen and all these countries as well. This is a plan by the United States, supported by Israel, to fragment the Arab and Islamic world.
We've heard that time and again, Nabil Mikhail. Do you agree that's the U.S. intention?
No, I do not think that the United States has a plan to fragment the Arab world. As a matter of fact, the United States went to Iraq to keep Iraq as one nation. Yes, Saddam was a bad guy. The mistakes were done back in 91 when America, the Bush administration, the first Bush administration, left Saddam. That was a huge mistake. I mean, Saddam should have been ousted and Iraq should have been free. But I do not think that the United States wants to divide the Middle East. There is no official document about this. There are, I mean, it's an open society. Even intelligence documents are declassified. Yeah, so this is something, not a plan for the United States. Like,
look at the political scenes in the Middle East. Look at Libya, look at Syria, look at Yemen.
Please do not enter, because people there fight.
No, because you are coming with long-winded statements about the U.S. policies and how good they are, and they went to the Middle East to restore democracy. No. What I'm arguing is the opposite. No, they came to the Middle East actually to divide people and to create division within the Middle East. And we see this happening every day in Palestine, in Libya, in Syria, in Egypt, in Lebanon, in Yemen, and in Africa, and in Somalia, and all these countries. You cannot deny the role of the American administration and the Israeli behind them in fragmenting the Middle East.
No, that's not true, because America did not ask any one of these factions to fight. It would be the mistake of the United States if they did not resolve the solution. And every time America intervenes, it's subject to debate.
Go back to your history. Who created Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan?
Al-Qaeda was formed because the United States stayed in Iraq. This is what Osama bin Laden said, because America deployed the troops.
They were supported
in the Arabian
and trained by the CIA. And financed by the Saudi Arabia. The two countries created Al-Qaeda and bin Laden.
No, that's not true. This is not true.
The United States and Saudi Arabia.
No, Al-Qaeda was not created.
And what we see in the Middle East is a continuation of that. You cannot deny that. Look at the sources, American sources, who support this kind of argument.
No. Al-Qaeda was not the product of the Afghanistan war. Al-Qaeda was the product of the refugee crisis inside the Afghani borders in Galal Abad. There were refugees. But the Mujahideen fought fought the Soviets. They formed a government. Of course, there is no national unity.
Okay.
But Al-Qaeda was not produced by the CIA.
We'll open that topic up. So the
American
did
not create it to fight communism.
All right, we'll open that topic up for another debate. Maybe we'll invite
That's
both
different.
Of you back for for
Al-Qaeda
it.
Al-Qaeda was not part of the
Let's
Mujahideen
go back to the
movement.
Subject at hand. Perhaps we'll have this for another topic of the debate. Let's come to the situation at hand. And I'd like to come to you, Sabah Jawad. So what are we looking at right now? You have Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. You have his coalition. They came out with a statement, Maliki, amongst his members. And they all said, we're not going to accept this new prime minister. Obviously, there's going to be pushback. There's already elite units that are guarding the Baghdad, and streets where demonstrations are being held. And this is a way some people are saying that for Maliki, scared that perhaps there's going to be some opposition coming out, demonstrations. Where is this going to go? How do you foresee it?
Well, the balance of forces against him, actually, because a lot of people, they were within his alliances, are now abandoning him. Even Sistani, the highest Shia religious authority, turned against him. And there are some people, who are, including the vice prime minister, deputy prime minister, seems to be working against him, and he supported the new named prime minister as well. So the odds against the prime minister, al-Maliki. But if you ask any informed commentators in Iraq to compare al-Maliki with some of the alternatives that are proposed to replace him, the Maliki, a lot of people say, is much better than the other leaders who are corrupt and they have external agenda. They had links with Saudi Arabia, with Qatar, with the United States, with a lot of people who are trying to divide Iraq and keep Iraq disunited and weak. And they have a strong link with the Kurdish leadership as well in Kurdistan, who are trying to undermine the central government by all means possible, including selling oil without the authorization of the Iraqi government. So, you know, if you compare al-Maliki, and I'm no fan of Prime Minister al-Maliki, but at least he stood firm against the demand and reasonable demand of the Kurdish leadership in Kurdistan and the expansionist policy and so on. Even so, that actually al-Maliki failed miserably in tackling the security issues and also the issue of corruption in Iraq. We haven't seen any of these corrupt billionaires in Iraq being put on trial and their wealth confiscated. So there are a lot of criticism of al-Maliki, but al-Maliki in comparison with what's being proposed to replace him, probably we are better off with al-Maliki than with them.
And Nabil Mikhail, what are we looking at here? Obviously there's going to be some type of confrontation if it hasn't already erupted, and of course the U.S. administration, the European Union, and even the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, they've all come out congratulating the new prime minister. So what's going to happen to the prime minister position and Maliki and the new prime minister in terms of a clash that's obviously is heading in their direction?
It's a good question, because the future of Iraq, let me just be focused. Do not let the political fight in Iraq hamper the military effort to defeat ISIS and other extremists. I hope the Obama administration will understand this. And I think the Pentagon will try just to create a different route for the military operation away from the political crisis. The second part is, what will Maliki do next? Everyone is waiting. Will he resign voluntarily? Will he insist on the fact that the ministers who are running the different departments are only to report to him, not to other not to another political leader? I also hope that no violence will happen, because from what I read in the New York Times and other newspapers,
he's the prime minister,
some military units are surrounding his.
Okay, let's get Sabah Jawad back in to get a final statement. Sabah Jawad, go ahead in less than 30 seconds.
I think this problem will not end, actually, because we are moving within a circular designed by the American occupations. And based on the division of Iraq, based on creating political forces which fight each other to prevent Iraq from progressing into a true democratic, independent, sovereign state. And this is, we've seen the whole onslaught in the Middle East, supported by the United States and Israel, and to fragment the Middle East and to create a very weak entity and weak states for the United States to actually to keep its hegemony over the area and to keep Israeli superiority in comparison with the Arab countries surrounding it.
Very well. Thank you very much. Director of the Iraqi Democrats Against Occupation, Sabah Jawad there, and Professor at the George Washington University, Nabil Mikhail. And thanks for watching another edition of The Debate. Any questions or comments, do send them to us. Newsroom@pestv.ir is our email address. From Mikhail Vitale and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.